May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my God. Good morning, church. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Every week, it's a treat and it's an honor and privilege for me and my wife to worship with you every time. I take it as an honor. For the last 32 years we have been coming here, but every week it's a new thing for me and a new blessing for me to be here. We may think this fellow is getting old, nothing else to do, so it's okay for him to come to church. It's not like that. In fact, I'm getting busier and busier every day. I'm well occupied. And the opportunities in India are getting bigger and bigger. So in a way, every day I'm busy. I thank God for that, but to be here, I consider it is a special privilege. I don't think I will never avoid for anything. I can avoid anything else, but I want to be here. And you're all special to me. Next week, I won't be here. So I'll be missing you all. So certainly I'll be thinking of you. Myself and my wife will be in Western Australia for a week. I'll be in a conference professionally, but I thought we'll have an excuse to go and visit my son and daughter-in-law and our dear granddaughter, Sienna, which we're looking forward to. Today I would like to share, I'm not preaching, but I would like to share a few thoughts on biblical integrity. I'm not sharing with you with my strength, but I'm sharing with you with the strength of Christ in me. David said, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me." That was his prayer. As we all know that David committed a lot of sins in his life. But at the end of the day, God judged him as a man of his own heart. Not that he was sinless, but with the strength of God, he learned to commit sins less and less. So God judged him as a man of God's own heart. Somebody said, integrity can be measured what we do when no one else sees us. Not that when everybody is around us, we can pretend to be with a great integrity, but what we do when nobody is here, on our own, when we do something, that's what the integrity is all about. That's what they said. But when you ask people, give us an answer, what is integrity? I tell you what, you will receive lots of answers. Lots and lots. Sometimes we use the word integrity without any reason. It is a lot misused word, integrity. And it is very subjective. So when you ask the people, or when you refer to an Oxford or Longman dictionary, these are all the thoughts come about on integrity. Do you know Adolf Hitler and all his associates or followers thought he was a man of integrity? Adolf Hitler. Because he was single-minded, and what he wanted to do, people thought he was a great man protecting Germany at that time. He wanted to support a single race, and he wanted to exterminate all the Jews. People at that time thought, yeah, it's a great thing. But people did not know his heart. His heart was full of hatred and hatred towards Jews. And eventually he did manage to exterminate 6 million Jews, including 2 million children. And people thought he was man of integrity. And you and me know what we think of him. People come up with all these answers about integrity because world evaluate our integrity from what it sees from outside. Our behavior, our deeds and looks. Sometimes we can pretend and create good looks. But end of the day, my dear brothers and sisters, that is not integrity. Because it's very subjective, depend on our perceptions too. Men measure integrity from outside, but thank God, God measures integrity from inside, not from outside. It really doesn't matter what we do outside. It matters what is inside our heart. That's what, when we say God looks at our heart, we all agree he's not mentioning about the anatomical heart. Anatomical heart, we all know, it is as the size of our closed fist, and it is on our left side of the chest. It has 4 chambers. It takes all the oxygenated blood to the body and receives the blood back from the body, organs and all the things. It's an important organ in the body, yes, but it's not referring to that part. In all the time when we talk about the heart, it is embracing as a person as a whole. Our feelings, our desires, our passions, our thoughts, our understanding, our decision making. All in all, it is a wholesome thing. It refers to the center of a person as a being. That's what it refers when we talk about the heart. Definitely not the anatomical organ, as much as it is important. It affects everything we do. Every issue of our life flows from the heart. What we think. It is a stronghold of all of a man. In fact, if you take the heart as a captive, the whole man becomes a prisoner. So it's a very, very important word when it is used in the Bible as heart. David understood that God is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. You know, with all the sins he committed, he was able to pray in the end of his life. He said, O God, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me. He gave a challenge to God, but try me. If there is anything in my heart, show me. So he was very confident when he prayed. That's what is David's heart. And it was only David's total inward submission that he could walk in integrity of heart and in uprightness. Being followers of God, that means we have been crucified with Christ. And Christ lives in us, where we can only truly walk in newness of life. In the many seasons of life, we will inevitably see times when we struggle in some areas of our faith. Even an area that we have previously considered our strength, it often occurs when we face an entirely new set of circumstances. For instance, when we deal with failures in life, we all deal with failures in life. A constant experience of God's forgiveness and the perseverance to press on. Obviously, failure is not God's desire for us, but He uses failures and new circumstances in life to develop our godly character. He uses failures as well. That's what happened to Peter. God used his failures. And also Paul, God used his failures. At times Paul had to confront Peter, ask him to change his attitude towards Gentiles. By his grace, God works in us throughout the seasons of our lives, in successes and failures, teaching us crucial lessons about ourselves and about Himself, conforming us to the image of His Son. You know, when Christ was alive, Pharisees and scribes thought they were the men of integrity. But I tell you what, Christ had a very harsh words for them. Very harsh words. He did say to them, "You are a whitewashed tomb. Even though you look good outside, but there is a death and decay inside." That's what the Pharisees said. Even the Jews today, all the Jews today, except those who accepted Christ, they think they are men of integrity and women of integrity because they are following their laws and all their traditions and circumstances. You know, on the Sabbath, we have experienced when we were in Israel, on the Sabbath day, they don't touch anything what they need not have to touch. Even I was surprised. Their villages have borders with a thread outside in about 3 kilometers distances. On the Sabbath day, they should not walk over that stream. They are almost committing a sin. So they can only walk in that distance on the Sabbath day. So if they don't walk, they think they are men and women of integrity. But thank God, Messianic Jews, they understood the grace. So they realized following the law itself is not enough to be men and women of integrity. Biblical integrity is essentially righteousness. Righteousness, we all know, is impossible apart from God. Our Lord instructs us first seek the kingdom, His kingdom. We can't, it is almost impossible for us to be righteous, and only with the strength of God, and only with His grace, we can try to be righteous. So what does the Bible say? I just looked into the Bible
for few words, what, how it describes integrity. Integrity means treating people fairly and honestly. Integrity is giving your word and keeping it. Integrity is more valuable than many riches we think we should have. The Lord will test and judge your integrity. The Lord hates lies and lack of integrity. It may be difficult to maintain our integrity with our own strength. Our character can be corrupted by bad company, so we should be thinking about whom we live and whom we work and whom we move about. Integrity will be rewarded eventually, and our integrity should set an example to the world. When I say this, it is for us personally and for a church collectively. We have to maintain the integrity, which we can't do with our own strength. I'm sure when you go through the Bible, you will have a lot more to talk about on integrity. It's only a few I just picked up. For example, if people know us very well during our life, if they describe us in 5 words, do you think integrity will be one of them? Sadly, I'm not judgmental, but I'm only talking with my own little experience in life. Sadly, many of the church-going people do not have integrity. And many churches don't have, right? Nowadays, when the church allows all type of practices, and what do you think about the integrity? And in Psalm 15, just now Sister Rita read very well a few minutes ago, Psalm 15, it is sort of a model of integrity. It says, who shall abide in God's sanctuary? It lists about 10 characteristics of a person who will abide in God's tent, or who shall live in the holy place. Obviously, it is referring to a person of integrity can live in the God's holy place. David describes a righteous man who walks in integrity gains not only respect from others, but he will also get given an audience with God. So integrity is a great virtue. I think we should strive to develop. It's not going to happen in one day. It is a lifetime practice. It is a lifetime practice. Again, I repeat, we can't do it. Definitely we fail if we do it on our own strength. Only with the strength of God, and only with the Christ who lives within us. It mentions about 10 qualities, so to speak, model of integrity. It says, he who walks with integrity or uprightly. I think we have to understand this word. When we say integrity and upright, it doesn't mean it is sinless. Doesn't mean it is sinless. It means by the God's grace, by the Christ who lives within me, we strive to sin less and less and less every day until we meet Christ face to face. That's what it means. We can be whole and complete with that attitude. We strive to sin less and less and less, not more and more and more. If we do that, do it more and more, I think there is something wrong. And he also says, he who works righteousness. That means this is the person who actually does what is righteous, rather than merely talks about it. Many people talk about righteousness a lot. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. Many scholars, many professors, many people in our life talk about righteousness. That doesn't mean anything. Only it means something when we walk, much more than when we talk. Doing what is right and lawful and good and honest is eminently pleasing to God, whether it be private or public, in the church or in the office or in our family. In the Bible, it has been said that a false balance is an abominable to the Lord, but a just weight is delight. I would like to explain to you that bit. A false balance. In the olden days, when they used to write the Bible, they are talking about the balance, not this electronic balances what we know about. I can relate to that because I have seen those balances. Little things hang both the sides with the little pans on the both the side, a rod in between, somebody holds the balance right in the middle. Still we practice in India. One side we put the goods we are going to purchase, and the other side there is a weight. Particularly when we buy the groceries. I have been there, so I can relate to that very well. So here it says right balance, that means the weight got to be right. When we are trying to measure something which we are going to sell, you know what the false merchants do, even though the weight which is supposed to be 3 kilos, it won't be 3 kilos really. It will be only 2.5 kilos, even though it says 3 kilos. Okay, so they measure it with that. People think that they are honest. You think that you are getting 3 kilos of your groceries, but in fact you are only getting 2.5 kilos. You understand what you're talking about? Right balance. That happens all the time in India. So God hates that type of attitude. You are showing outside to the people you are doing the right thing, but in your heart you know that very well you are not doing the right thing. People think that you are righteous, but you know that you are not. That's what God is talking about here. God is concerned with the little things, no less than the big ones. We may think that God is only thinking about the murder and the stealing the banks and all those things. Even He's thinking about the little things in our life. The way we look at a person, God is mindful of those things as well. We must ask this question: do we regard these minor misrepresentations in business or in shopping or speaking as only part of a genuine place? You know, in the current society here, cheating the taxman, it's okay because everybody does that. But is it right? Also, he spoke about speaking the truth. A person does not, we should not resort to hypocrisy and flattery. I think we should try to speak the truth. Sometimes it is hard to speak truth. And he also said he does not slander with his tongue. What is the meaning of slander? It refers both initiating and rejoicing in gossip. Here the point of gossip is about a person. It says about a person of integrity will neither contribute to slander nor tolerate it. Spurgeon said, if there were no gratified hearers of ill reports, there would be an end of the trade of spreading slander. So sometimes we got to be careful what we listen, and we should not waste our time and just listening to the slander which is actually trying to put another person down. Simple as that. And he does no harm to the others. He speaks out against the wrong. I think in Western society, we do not like to speak against the wrong things. Because people say, doesn't matter, everybody does it. Even when I'm surprised, some of the churches we practice the same thing. Everybody does this, so let it go. But I think the only way we can help a person is with grace, you try to tell the person what is being done is a wrong thing and help that person to come out of it. Then you will become a good friend to that person. And you will maintain your integrity as well. And one thing I like about this church is we stand on the Word of God. That's the great legacy I think we have got. I think I thank God for the men and women who have gone with the Lord ahead of us, who maintained great legacy, and they passed on to us. And it is our obligation to maintain the legacy. At times it's difficult. And I remember two occasions here. One within our church here, and it's outside at my work. I had an opportunity to work with a gay person. Indeed, that person whom I was working, he was also a pastor of one of the churches here in Altona. He was an assistant pastor and he was a practicing gay. He married to another person, one of the men. And he knew the Bible in and out. He can quote verse by verse like anything. And do you think he's a man of integrity? And whenever he came across to me, he used to tell me, yes, Daiva, I know you are a fundamental evangelist. You don't agree what I do, but you got to understand that God loves a sinner. But I have to tell him, yes, God loves a sinner. That's true. But God hates sin, my brother. I think he is still a good friend of me. I can still talk to him.
He knows where I stand. When I talked to him, it didn't hurt him in the end. He knew very well I'm only trying to help him. And there is another person associated with this church. That person was alleged gay. This made many people here in this church did not want to associate with that person. And almost it came to our elder's side, we have to take some action. And I had an opportunity to confront that person and ask that person, look, I'm sorry if I hurt you, but I have to ask you one thing, because I love you. Is that what I'm true, what I have? And I explained. Then that person almost cried and that person said, no, I'm not. And I observed, it is so true, that person was not. So we have wrongly almost convicted a person. So we got to be very careful. Once I raised that point and touched that person's heart, and now, until now, we are, myself and my wife are very good friends to that person. Honestly, that person was not. So we have to prepare to tell the truth and deal with that very graciously. And we will maintain our integrity. And of course it goes on. That person of integrity honors who walk in truth, keeps the word even at a great cost to himself. Sometimes it will cost us. It will cost us. When you talk the truth, you become a bad person sometimes. But I think you have to tell the truth, whether it's a church or at work. When a person is committing a sin, which you know, definitely, you have to deal with it. That is our personal responsibility and our church responsibility totally. And you should not allow that happen. Even Christ dealt with it during his lifetime. When the woman who committed adultery came in front and asked the people to deal with it, of course he did not punish, but he did say, go on, don't commit anymore, don't continue the sin. He was very open and direct. Sometimes we sort of leave our responsibility at the church to deal with the person graciously. And sometimes we continue to associate with the person, that person thinks that we are condoning what that person is doing. I think in the end, as a person and as a church, we will uphold the integrity. And it will be a blessing not only us, but also to the person whom we represent, that's Christ in us. And we talked about it, what the Bible says. So we just briefly say, essence of biblical integrity. What are the essence when we talk about biblical integrity? A person of integrity fulfills his or her promises. Again, we got to be careful. If the doing something wrong is a promise, it's not an integrity. Doing something right and you think maintain your promise, that is integrity. Person of integrity speaks the truth, is honest, and does not tell a lie. Person of integrity is a person of sincerity. That is not like Adolf Hitler. He was sincerely following what he wanted to do, that is exterminating Jews. That is not integrity. Person of integrity manifests the wholeness of a character, including kindness, compassion, mercy and gentleness. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That has to develop over the time. It won't develop within one day or two. The person of integrity is committed to the pursuit and maintenance of justice and fairness.
So as a person of integrity, as a believer, if you see there is a some sort of injustice done to a person, I think you have to stand up. Not just think, oh, it's not my business, somebody else's business. I think you have to stand up. Then you can sleep well in the night, I tell you. Person of integrity loves as when and what God loves. Person of integrity is humble. A person dealing with a person with a hatred or with a harshness, that's not integrity again. You've got to be kind. And a person of integrity is law abiding. We have to abide our law. And person of integrity is fundamentally trying to help people in all the way we can. When we do all these things, I think we will be consistent in our life. Always stand firm. So true gauge of our integrity is our heart, as we just spoke. God looks our heart. Doesn't matter what we do outside. God is the discerner of thoughts, motives, and our intent. Sometimes we pretend as though we are trying to do good, but there is a motive behind how much it will help us. But that is not integrity. We always try to do, pretend to do something when there is something for us. And also we talked about biblical concept of integrity, a model of integrity in Psalm 15, and essence of integrity. I tell you what, it's a challenge. It's not easy to be a person of integrity. But if you maintain integrity, it's good for your health, it's good for your heart, and you can sleep very well, I tell you, that much you can do in the night. Many people who don't sleep well, I think this is one of the problems. There is no integrity in them. Always consciously it will fix their mind. As I said, it is impossible to live on our own strength. But I tell you what, we can try and we can, with total surrender to God and with awareness who we are in Christ. Do you know, in Christ, we are the royal priesthood, we are the holy nation, and we are the chosen people. I think let it remind us every day when we deal with people. And can we be able to pray boldly as David prayed, search me, O God. He's giving a challenge to God, search me and know my heart, and try me, know my thoughts. And what can we say, like Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. And I tell you what, it is my prayer that we all can challenge God. God, search me and know my thoughts. And also it is my prayer that we can say enough our life, what Paul said. I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And with God's grace, I think we can, with the strength of Christ in us. I think there Solomon said, he who walks in integrity walks securely. I tell you what, we can be very secure when we walk in integrity. When we try to walk in integrity, which we can't do in our own strength. I keep telling you, we will fall flat if we try to do it or try to do it with our own strength. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we can. With the strength of Christ who is within us. It's my sincere prayer. Let us close this morning with the benediction.